let's move forward. Take out your document. There should be some in the back. Those that don't have them, and of course, I'll print as many as need to, but I would encourage you to have them and to take them home with you. And don't leave home coming to church without them. How about that? Yeah. Everyone repeat after me, scripture distinctions of actualization in eternity from manifestation in time. Now we had moved into a section on page 39. Everyone repeat after me, the capsule of time, renders creation exclusively in eternity. We're going to hit that very, very, very hard in the conference. Amen. As to where creation actually abides. Deacon Gavin is our designated reader. And Brother Deacon, as well as everyone else, we're gonna this is where we were last week. Ephesians 1 and 10, but there are some more golden nuggets we need to mine out of there. Amen. Turn to the bottom of page 40. Second paragraph from the bottom. As we look into the essence of Ephesians chapter 1, and as I said last week, I challenge the ministry to minister from this passage. For in it, we are privileged to see the essence of God's eternal blessings upon us. Those things that he did before we got here. I think when we were reading in Sunday school this morning, amen, and the living was noting that when Paul refers to David's comments in conveying the blessing of being free and not under condemnation, these were all what we call indicative aorists. Indicative mood is what? Aorist tense is what? Completed action. So we have completed facts. Amen. It lets us know that we were never in jeopardy. Yes, yes. You were freed from sin and forgiven. As the translation really, really, literally is were. I know the King James has are forgiven, but we were forgiven. And we were covered. We were released. We were free. Oh my God. And when someone would ask when some minds may go back to the day that you came into the revelation and knowledge of your salvation, and I don't know what you did. Maybe you walked down an aisle. Amen. I don't know what you did. But whatever you did, that's not what word delivered refers to.
Right.
What it refers to is in this chapter. Amen. In the realm of eternality, wherein the spiritual blessings were conveyed to us, again, as it read in the third verse of the first chapter of Ephesians that we're looking to, and we've got to move a little along this morning. I know the time that clock is always problem. Men. But in that third verse, we have the verb ablogisos, which is having blessed, which speaks of that which is already in place. He blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. And here we are in eternality, and he still said heaven blessed. It is referenced like that because there is no sequencing in eternality. There is no past, present, future, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Everything is the eternal now. Everything's, everybody say eternal now. Verses 4 and 5 and 6, he speaks about the fact of having chose us in him before creation of the foundation of the world. Of the creation of the world, of the materialization, really, of the world. And at the time, the purpose was for us being holy and blameless before him. So all the way back to eternity, we stand blameless and separated before him. Why did he do it? In love.
Yes.
Having prayed. Foreordain us into sonship. Have the Greek word deiothesion, which is translated adoption, but actually, literally, it means a son positioning.
Yes. Thank you.
And he did it to himself, for himself, to please himself. As it says, according to the good pleasure of his will.
Yes.
Now, why is God doing all of this? Verse 6, to the praise of his glory.
Right.
Wasn't about you. How could it have been about us when we were not? Amen. Oh my God, we were not revealed, amen, in the forms of being encapsulated in flesh, amen, with the minds of that we have, that some express that we have to contribute to this thing. Notice the passive voice. Because if you participated in it, then God only gets part of the praise. But all the praise go to him. Everybody say all the praise.
All the praise.
And all the glory to God.
Amen.
And because he favored us, having been loved. Oh my God. And in verse 7, that's why we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. You are saved because he saved you, and he saved you in eternity.
Amen.
Now, some are going to come after us on this, and of course, I'll entertain them. Anyone that's going to go to the scripture and going to exegete this thing, going to deal with these moods and these tenses. Amen. And these voices. What does the passive voice mean? If something's done to you, you had nothing to do with it. That means your participation was zero. How could it be? We're talking about in eternality. In eternity. And verse 9, Paul speaks about having made known. In fact, Brother Dick can read that. Everybody, let's look at verse 9. And see, let's forget about where you are on this day at this hour and what your problems are. So, shouldn't we look at our problems? I want you to look down on it instead of around in it.
Amen.
So as we move into the vertical sphere, we're no longer looking around. We're looking down. Everybody said,
look down.
Instead of around.
Instead of around.
Now, I thought that would get you a little rhyming there, you know. Oh my God. Ephesians 1:9, everybody say amen.
Amen.
But you can read it from the King James and then from the Greek.
Ephesians 1:9, mm-hmm. King James Version. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself.
Now, listen, having made known to us, here Paul is not speaking about everybody. Because a few verses down, he says, I pray that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened.
Amen. Thank God.
The essence of this,
yes,
is those whom God making known what?
His will.
Making known to us what?
The mystery of his will.
The mystery. Here you have that word. No, they want to run away from that.
Yeah.
Some people don't like that word.
Right.
The mystery. Everybody said the mystery.
The mystery.
Amen. Oh my God. The hidden secret that God did not reveal in the previous ages. Information that you won't get in the law.
Yeah. Right.
Or in kingdom. But God took Paul into Arabia for 3 years. And he revealed to him a volume of truth that formed the grace dispensation.
Yes.
Everybody said a grace dispensation.
Grace dispensation.
And we're saying these things because this is not terminology that's being conveyed from the pulpits. Here you have a glorious, distinct doctrine that many are trying to mitigate by taking it and mingling it and mixing it and blending it. Oh, but it's like water and oil. They won't blend. They won't mix. You can shake them up. But when it settles, what will happen? They're separated. Hear Paul when he speaks of the mystery that belongs to his will. There are many things of God's will that were revealed in the other messages. But here he's speaking of the mystery will of the things of God that he decreed from the beginning. But he hid them until such a time that he revealed them, amen, to Paul, amen, which is our doctrine, which is our covenant. Oh my God. Aren't we blessed this morning?
Amen.
Again, everything is according to his what? That he did what?
Purpose.
He purposed in himself.
Yes.
Oh my God. Huh? That shows how insignificant we are, right? But yet we are very significant in him. We're nothing outside of him, but we're everything in him.
Yes.
Let's look at our document, page 40, where we say eternity is not a topic. You see that? Everybody got that? Eternity is not a topic that is viewed as abiding in the current sphere of existence. In fact, most theological doctrines have espoused the position that the sphere of time dissects eternity in rendering such past and future, but not present. And then we only speak of presence in the sense that it is abiding, as we said, the eternal now. This is most unfortunate, in that such thinking or cogitation claims a averse time as an independent and equal component of existence with eternity. They put time on an equal plane with eternity. In Hebrews, it teaches us that by saying he created the ages of the time. Huh? So time is a what? It's a creation. So to aver that time is an equal component of existence with eternity is absurd. This couldn't possibly be factual, since time is incipient, temporal, and terminal, whereas eternity is neither of these, and even the very opposite of such limitations. Through all the conveyances of creation, that is, through all the conveyances of creation are currently elaborated in time, that's what might be confusing to us. Also, we must understand that the scriptures declare the end of time, yet not the end of creation.
Yes, yes.
From this, it can be gleaned that all that is truly captured and sourced as a component of time would of necessity come to fruition with the cessation of time. That's why these bodies are destroyed, because these bodies are components of time. And when time bites the dust, these physical bodies that we're in, what happened? Also, destroy it. However, all scriptures definitively declare the continuity of creation after cessation of time, in effect certifying it as a component neither initialized nor actualized in time, but indeed in eternity. Elder Liberman is a science teacher, and of course he would tell you, as according to the scientists, nothing is what? Created or what? Destroyed. What? In creation. And when they say creation, they mean creation of that which is mirrored or revealed in time. Yet time is destroyed. Huh? And so you really bring nothing in. That you don't take out. You brought nothing in? Old Testament, right?
That's right.
And what? You take nothing out. No. Well, I take my salvation out. Well, you brought it in.
Hallelujah.
You leave here saved because you came here saved.
Oh,
we're going to deal with it in the conference. Uh-huh. And like I said, we are not intimidated by orthodoxy that teaches you that one day you went somewhere and got right with God, got saved, got justified, got the Holy Ghost. And so nothing really resides creation-wise in time. It resides in eternity. Now, the exclusive adduce a pattern to accurately defining the phenomenon of time, follow me here, It exudes the spiritual view that it is a designated sphere of duration in which the testimony of God's will and purpose is manifested to mankind. Thus, time is relegated to God-created design capsule, not capsule in the way we think of a capsule. We take some pictures and, you know, and some memorabilia and stuff, and we put it into some container and we take it and hide it somewhere. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about all of time is a capsule, because eternity never went anywhere. Time did not interrupt eternity. You are in eternity now, but you in the capsule of time. You get that? So it is God's created design capsule, or a definitive sphere of space and duration design in order to exhibit his specific purposes. And we only said purposes because we're talking about manifestation. Right. Amen. Now this effectively eliminates time as the sphere of actual functionality of things. And we're going to deal with this in the conference. As we said last week, look outside the window. You see the light, right? What you see left the sun 8.5 minutes ago. Right. That right, Ellen Liverman? 93 million miles divided by 186,000 miles per second traveling, amen, equals 8.5 minutes. We change seconds to minutes. 8.5 minutes ago. So what you see is not what is actually happening at the time you see it. That's in the universe. Now we look into the essence of even that, and we see, amen, that is only manifestation of what God decreed. That's what an action is. That's what a creation is. That's why Paul, if you start talking about things that are not, it's the things that appear, and then those translated, they want to take it and change that thing around because it doesn't make sense. Amen. So we use ourselves as the metropole. But the essence of truth is that which is in God's decree. So time is eliminated as the sphere of actual functionality of things, and univocally establishes eternity as the original origin, actualization, and essence of all creation. We shall deal with that in the conference. So that you will know that there's nothing that's happening. Nothing is happening and going on that you looking around and you seeing it. And you know what? That thing you're stressing out about, that thing is really, that's the mirror. You know, like you're standing, you look in the mirror. Huh? None of us have ever seen our face. Oh, you've seen your hand. You can look down at your hand, but you can't look at your face, can you? You have to do what? You have to look in the mirror. Huh? But then the mirror, amen, while it may function, amen, for reflecting the image, you're looking at that mirror, you're not looking at the actual, because if you walk out of the mirror, what's there? Nothing. And that's what's in time. What? Nothing. It's only a mirror. Everybody say it's only a mirror. Oh my God. So that's what Paul meant. He was that scripture, amen, the things that are not the things that appear. The actual action is in God's decree. Now, in the light of comprehending this truth, are you with me? It can be authoritatively concluded that the inception of creation does not reside in the sphere of, nor is it defined by its manifestation or mirrors in time, but by the perception of all things in the mind. When we say the mind, I'm using the anthropomorphic term, in the decree of God. Where? In eternity. I let that sink in a second. You get it? Hence, all of creation owes its existence to and resides in the sphere of eternity, because the conclusion of all things in time as perceived by human intelligence is the reconciliation of all things in the ages in time. And let's go back, oh my God, to Ephesians chapter 1 verse 10. Now we're ready to really look into this thing and see what he's talking about. Now let's bring that ingression in. So now we understand what the conveyance is. Now you pick up three commentaries or five commentaries, and you got 3 to 5 different renditions of what this scripture is actually saying, and most of them are off base. We got to determine what's real from what's mirrored. And we determine what's real from what's mirrored by correctly discerning the spheres that they reside in. If it's in the mirror, it's not real. The mirror is like time. So, Pastor, you're saying that what I'm going through is not real? Yeah, but it's real, but not in the sphere of time. Because the realism has to go back to the source. You know, for instance, most of us, when it's raining and it lightning, but it happens so quick, and then we don't jump until we hear the thunder. Do we? Huh? You go, boom, we jump, but hey, that's the after effects. If the lightning hits you, amen, you're struck before you up here. I'm just using an analogy there. Amen. The essence of what you're stressing on about, amen, it is originated and actualized in God's decree. You know the example, amen, Mother Johnson now, was Mother Goodlow, laying in the hospital, and I'm saying, Mother, you seem mighty calm now, getting ready to have a massive operation. It was serious, wasn't it? And I'm looking at the indicators, and I'm saying, Mother, you seem mighty calm. I was pleased to see it, but I was making a comment. And she said, Pastor? I said, yes. She said, didn't you teach us that it's already done? I said, yeah. She said, why should I be laying here worried about something already done? We're out here and we're dealing with some stuff right now, huh? In the local area where we live, we got big giant corporations filing bankruptcy. They used to make the average man feel like he was a failure when he filed bankruptcy. So bankruptcy has the negative connotation of failure. And even immorality in some cases, the creditors so mad at you tried to make you feel bad, amen, until they got in trouble. So, you know, you have your home It's in foreclosure, but then you start to check in the books and you find out that the original mortgage company that wrote it is bankrupt. Oh my God. The IGs. What did they have to do? They had to go get some help. Bank of America, I could call the name of you. Amen. Bear Stearns. Lehman Brothers bit the dust. Do you know what? All of that had already happened before they realized. See, we think a thing doesn't actually exist until we know it. That thing existed in God's decree. And you know what? Nothing is going to manifest other than what's in God's decree. What is God's will? Nothing more? Nothing less? Nothing else than what he has decreed. Are you going to change it? Can you change prophecy? Prophecy said time would be no more. Can we change that? And it speaks of nations falling and so forth and so on. And I know this is being recorded and I don't care, but you know, when you go into prophecy, amen, this country, United States, is not even mentioned. Ooh, don't say that. It's scary, isn't it, huh? Our grandchildren and great-grands will not enjoy, or not enjoy, but they will not experience the level of living that we did. Those that resided in Rome in the 6th century, the 7th century, only read about the glamour of the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th century. Because by the time they were born, it was a thing of the past. Oh, you think it can't happen here? Where's mighty Babylon? It's buried under Iraq. Where's the glamour of Persia? It's buried under Iran. The archaeologist has to dig to get to the artifacts. It's coming over. That's why I said, oh, Pastor, this is not a good message. Oh, my God. You. That's because you want to hang out down here in time. And rely upon it. Yes. And that's crazy because we're going to funerals every day, aren't we? Yeah. Huh? And just look at yourself. Oh, I better say me because nobody. Do you know that my hair used to be black, all of it? When I was in school and ROTC, I could run a mile. If I run from here to the back of the church now, I'm. Eyes are going bad. I can't read without glasses anymore. My teeth are falling out. And I'm glad it's sunny today, man, because I might get a break. Yesterday and a few days that it rained, amen, the author was talking to me. I'm talking about writers. And this is where you want your permanent hangout to be? You're just as crazy as you can be.
I hear you.
You just got to soberly assess things. Brother, you can read that. Verse 10. Everybody, amen. Yeah, do King James. We'll clean him up and go to the Greek.
Ephesians 1, verse 10.
Everybody got that?
King James Version.
All right. Stick with us now. Read.
that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him.
All right. Let's go to the interlinear Greek.
Interlinear.
Now for those that you don't have it, amen, and I'm praying that everybody here at some point will have one, amen. The reason, again, this is also for those that may be listening, that we go to the interlinear. They're not perfect, but at least he's held to at least trying to follow, since he's putting the English word under the Greek.
Right.
That if the Greek word is not there, he's got to at least put some footnote or something. And so he's not free, amen, to just editorialize or rephrase things. And that's why we're using it. Amen? All right. Very slowly, Brother Deacon.
Ephesians 1:10, interlinear Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
For a
see that word east, for purpose. That means that everything up above that is now moving to this in manifestation. Now, you've got verses 3 through 8, and it's talking about what God specifically has done by decree. Now remember, now God doesn't. None of this is materialized. This is all spiritual. There's no physicality. God doesn't. Physicality is essence, materializing for the purpose of revealing and manifesting to us. God doesn't have to do that in order for it to be. That's because it's materialized is not the reason it is. It is because God said it. Oh, my God. Huh? God decreed it. That's why it is. All right, you're with me here. For what?
For a stewardship.
That Greek word is economion. For a what? Dispensation. Hey, baby. Is there? Is it there? Is that economion? And it's dispensation. For a dispensation what?
Of the fullness of the time.
So basically, amen, this is moving in manifestation to a fullness or a completion of the testimony. Right. Oh, my God.
Right.
Read.
Amen.
To head up all things.
Now, you see that. Brother Deacon, you got your other book. What is that? Y'all just bear with us a second.
Oh.
Amen. What is that Greek word? Well, it's in the West name, huh? Well, that's okay. What is it?
It's an
aorist infinitive. What is an infinitive?
Verbal noun.
It's a verbal noun. So basically, we put the word to there, and that's the way we handle it in English. But by putting the word to there, you interject the future. But it is an infinitive. It is an aorist infinitive. What is an infinitive? What is the aorist tense?
Complete action.
It's a complete action. So actually, if you're going to literally read this, it would be two head, heaven headed.
Right.
It's done. Anything you can talk about that's going to happen, you're talking about manifestation. You know, the light, look at the one again. It left the sun 8.5 minutes ago. Just using that analogy. So in manifestation, it's two head up. In actualization, it's already done.
Hallelujah.
it's done. It's actualized. It's actualized in his decree. God decreed it. That means that it exists now. But its existence in essence is where? In eternity. In eternity. Creation abides in eternity. Now, because it hasn't been mirrored in time, we say it hasn't happened, but it has happened. So two-head, heaven-headed, what?
All things.
What?
In Christ.
It's already there. Do you know that you are in Christ right now? Do you know that you are in the body of Christ right now? And I know they're going to come after us here. Hasn't been manifested to you.
Yes.
And this is why Paul uses all of these aorist tenses. And I know what the Greek scholars did is they got together, and because it didn't make sense, and then they made a rule, and they said, you should, unless it's in the indicative mood, you should ignore it. So they got us ignoring this is just the subjunctive mood. Imperative mood. They got us ignoring participles and infinitives because it doesn't make sense, right? Because it doesn't happen until we see it. Now, no, I'm not going to walk out here and say to someone, I went to the store. They said, well, when did you go? I said, tomorrow. No, I'm not going to do that because we're all in time, right? But the Holy Spirit can. And he has.
Yes.
It's done. Everybody say it's done.
Done.
You in Christ right now.
Right now.
And you've been in Christ from the beginning. You were in Christ manifestly before you were encapsulated in these bodies.
Absolutely.
How could going to the, when Paul spoke to the twin, what he's talking about? He's talking about the essence of Jacob and Esau, that God loving one and hating the other when, before they were ever born. He said, that doesn't make sense. And then you got David in the Old Testament and Jeremiah both said that he knew me or foreknew me when? Before when? Before I was formed. What does form mean? What does form mean?
Conceive.
He knew you before you were conceived. Because you came into existence in eternity when God decreed you. You only showed up in the body when you walked in the mirror. And thank God that's not the real you. The real you is not your body. The real you is your soul. And the consciousness of your soul is your spirit. And they both reside where? In eternity. In Christ. In eternity. In eternity. How much of you reside in time? Your body. And then according to the creed, it's destroyed. That's what he's saying. We don't have to dance around these aorist tenses. Read that. Read that. Finish that. Did you finish that up? All things
in Christ.
Uh-huh.
The things on.
How did he do that? That's epi. As epi, he said, on.
Mm-hmm. On the.
On what?
It says on the heavens.
Uh-huh.
And the things
okay,
on
they,
the
they
earth.
They disagree in you look into some of the manuscripts that's in.
Mm-hmm. on are in the heavens and the things on the earth.
Now you notice in here him. He doesn't vacillate between on and in the earth, right? Mm-hmm. You see that? Everybody see that? But because you got discrepancies in the manuscripts, he dances between the two, and he's using epi instead of in. But I'll tell you what overrules everything. What is the last phrase there? The last phrase there is what?
In him.
In him. In what? In afto. Who is him?
Christ.
In Christ. Where's Christ? Go back to verse 3. Huh? Where is he?
In the
heavens. What? In Christ. So the thing actually resides in the heavens because it's in Christ. And it's just on the earth. Mirrored. That Friday night, we're going to talk about mirrored earthly images. And so the thing that you're stressing all out about, worry about losing your job and all that so forth, and whatever, it has already happened. You lost your money. Well, you lost your money in the decree. You didn't lose it yesterday in manifestation. You lost it in the decree. You gained it in the decree, you lost it in the decree. In fact, it was one decree. You gained it and lost it in the decree. And everything that you have here in time is what? It's borrowed. It's on loan to you. What's the characteristics of a loan or something you borrowed? You eventually have to do what? You got to give it back. We are thinking. Mm-hmm. What does scripture teach us? Naked you what?
Amen.
And what?
Naked
you leave. But we are listening. Mm-hmm. We're not good listeners. We're so enamored by the things around us, and you say, oh, this couldn't possibly disappear. Oh yeah? Walk out of the mirror and see what's there. That mirror is only going to manifest what's there, right? Huh? Oh, my God. Y'all sure you're going to give me 2 hours? I love those looks. Let's look at the document. It is in this sense that Ephesians 1 states, again, unto a dispensation of the fullness of time to sum up all things in Christ, things in the heavens, and things on upon the earth were in him. All right, follow us here now. Give me 10 minutes and I'm going to bail out here. A scripturally exegetical approach to this verse necessitates observation that the Greek preposition east rendered unto is with the accusative case. What's the accusative case? It's direct object. It expresses the idea of a movement toward a given object, which effectively renders it unto the end of, that is, unto the end of a dispensation beyond that of the grace church age. So this lets us know that there's another dispensation that will follow this dispensation. And what is that? But what is that dispensation that follows this? Kingdom. Now, they're going to fight us on this because they're teaching we're in the kingdom dispensation. Now, no, you're not. And if you are, you contradicting yourself every time you pray the Lord's Prayer because you're saying, thy kingdom come. Now, follow. For the enlightenment of some, economion, rendered dispensation refers to an arrangement, administration, or economy which covers a given period of time. In this context, The word is used in the phrase dispensation of the fullness of times. The progressive genitive renders it unto a dispensation which what belongs to the fullness of time.
Yes.
Now, follow us here. Note, we have the clause here. I'm going to do a little exegeting. Amen. Tonkeron is rendered the times. It's plural. Identifying with the dispensational epochs. That is, and what is that? An extended period of time characterized by distinctive development or by a memorable series of events. Okay, are we together? We have a Greek noun here. Pleromatos. Which is rendered fullness. That even has no bearing in eternity. And no relevancy. We can say fullness of time, but you can't say fullness of eternity, can you? No. Follow here. It references the last dispensational period of time, which is the grand finale dispensation, wherein the ultimate consummation of God's revealed purpose of all things will be summed up in Christ. Which we're talking here now that we have summed up all the windows. Time in, time ends when the testimony is over. That which God has purposed to reveal in time is over. The medium or entity of time is over. Right? You get that? We have a Greek infinitive. What's an infinitive again, which we've just talked about? Anakephalos osophthe. Long word, right? It's rendered to sum up. Again, we've talked about that. It's combined from ana and kephalos, which is literally denotes to head up, bring together, assembly, and chorus. That's in the aorist tense, so it's all done, right? Mm-hmm. All this is already done. Mm-hmm. Now here, he's speaking in the sense of manifestation. So it's not done in manifestation, but it's done, right? It's done actually. So all things will be settled in this sense under the headship of Christ.
Yes.
That should give us some confidence and some joy this morning.
Amen.
To know that whatever is out there is going on. Huh? Now, the conveyance in this verse is that all is not yet revealed. Not that is not done. All is not yet revealed as being fulfilled in this present dispensation, because this is not the sum up dispensation. But it awaits manifested fulfillment in a future and final dispensation. So when they started talking about the nations and this one's got an atomic bomb and we're going to be destroyed and asteroid's going to hit and so forth and so on, I smile. You know why? What dispensation are we in?
We're in the grace dispensation.
That means there's a dispensation to follow us.
That's it.
Now all of those kind of things are going to happen in that dispensation, not in this dispensation.
Oh, okay.
Where will we be when that dispensation comes?
We always were.
In Christ. In manifestation, what happens? Huh? At the trump of God, what happened?
The dead in Christ.
And that's just anthropomorphism speaking those that are in Christ, that are dead, are separated from this earth. That Greek word thanatos simply means separated. The separated in Christ shall what? Shall rise, or they shall be revealed into the time capsule. Huh? And those that are yet in the capsule, alive and remain, will do what?
Hold on.
That Greek word means to be snatched. Oh my God, it happens so fast. My God, I'm getting happy here tonight.
Oh, glory.
Thank you. According to Thessalonians, none of that stuff that terrifies some of us when we read it in Revelation can even begin to start to happen until we're gone. problem is we're nervous because we look at the sphere of this world as being where our security and safety is. Your security is in Christ. Oh my God. I got 5 more minutes. This to some might preclude a possible misunderstanding of the statement to sum up all things in Christ, but the final phrase, things in the heavens and upon the earth, definitely designates all that exists in creation. Now, where that which exists in creation is, where is it? It's in Christ. It's in the heavens. In Christ.
Yes.
Not on earth. Don't worry about what's in that mural.
That's it.
Y'all better listen to me this morning, because some things are going to really come down. You haven't seen anything yet.
I hear you.
I say you haven't seen anything yet.
Oh.
In the conference, we're going to talk about the ten perils to the destruction of the earth. We're not going to talk about it long, but we're going to give an illustration, a short illustration on it. You know, we worry about things. You know, the forces on the inside core of the earth, the pressure is building up, and it's got to give somewhere. It's going to explode somewhere. Do you know how Yellowstone Park was created? By a volcano. Right?
Yeah,
right. Volcano. Didn't, huh? And you know what? It's still alive. But you know what? We're not going to worry ourselves to get about what's in that mural. Some of y'all looking at me strange. Turn on the news and it ruins your day.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody, I don't turn on the news. I'll turn it on. But it's not going to ruin my day.
No.
And it's not going to keep me up at night.
Man.
Hence, even as all things upon the earth, we're in here today, even as all things upon the earth to be manifestly arranged under Christ, likewise, all things in the heavens are in subjection to him. That should give you some comfort. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 to 28, which we'll start next week, it conveys a resume of the order in which future events will take place. That is, when I say future events, manifestation. Everybody said manifestation. First, the resurrection of Christ. Second, the resurrection of those who belong to Christ at his coming. Third, this is all in Corinthians, his kingdom reign, which he will put all the enemies under his feet, rulers, authorities, and powers. That's in the 15th chapter there. And we can also cross-reference Philippians chapter 2. Accordingly, all of creation shall manifestly face what? Eternity. That is eternity in Christ. Or without him. All that's not in Christ is what? It's out of Christ. It's separated from Christ. What's the definition of separation? Death.
Yes, yes.
You alive because what?
Yes.
You in Christ. All that's not in Christ is dead.
You're right.
An eternity of perfect joy. And this is where we want to end the day. Forget about all of the Chrysler and Jim and the banks and wars and all of that's happening. Amen. Let's project up where we are actually abiding now, in Christ. Huh? And when we're there, amen, we see that everything is secured. And eternity, a perfect joy and fulfillment, one of absolute Ruin of emptiness. That's not us. That's them. All are destined according to God's decree. Everybody say according to God's decree. Rather than that which was chosen by them in this life. You didn't choose anything. You didn't cause anything. You didn't determine anything. You didn't make anything. You really didn't destroy anything. Which is delineated by a very brief span of moments, seconds, minutes, months, years, decades, scores, centuries, and millennia, identified we call the time of existence. So how then can the subject of eternity be avoided in light of the relatively little time assessed for manifestation? Time is like a drop in the what?
In the ocean.
In the ocean.
That's it.
Because there are any number of popular misconceptions regarding eternity, God's people would do well to enthusiastically embrace this subject as it is drawn from the grace covenant scriptures, revelations of his eternal workings, rather than shrewd information gleaned from theological and traditional religious philosophies. Look and live, look and live. It's recorded in this word. Look and live. And as you look and you live and you learn, you can have confidence this morning. And when you have confidence, you can sing as the old folk used to sing. And I don't hear that song too much anymore. Hold to God's unchanging hand.
Oh, glory.
Hold to God's unchanging hand.
Right.
Can you say hold?
Oh.
Hold to God's unchanging hands. Build. Build. Build.
Build
your hopes. Say eternal. Say again and again and again. Hold, hold to God's unchanging hand. I say to you this morning, you are saved because you're in Christ, and because you're in Christ, you're not only saved, you are safe. We're taking them next week. God bless you.